Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line with us tonight?
Yes, I am, and congratulations, Grandpa.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I also believe I have on the line tonight my good friend and mentor, Dr. G. You on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, we are. We echo Miss Sheila.
Praise God. Thank you. We're going to thank God for a new baby girl. Baby Zoe arrived on the 19th of this month.
Yeah.
Sheila, I think that's one of you and
yeah.
Dr. G's child's birthday, Aaron, Master Aaron.
Uh-huh.
And one day after our dad's birthday, Colonel James B. So
that's right.
We got a lot of May birthdays that we celebrating. But she's doing well, and Janice, my daughter's doing well. So we thank God that Janice will be coming home today, and Zoe will be coming home on tomorrow, Lord willing. So thank God for new birth, new life. God is good, and we thank Him that all went well for mommy and baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's a trying time for the caring of the child and birthing of the child, and as our dad would say, now you got to get used to that living business. But it's a blessing. So we thank God for everyone's prayers, continued prayers, that we will rally around the family and be like the village to help raise another child, you know.
Amen.
So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank You for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study Your Word. And Father, we pray that You will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto You, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing Your Word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this Word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to Your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sheila G., on last week, we continued study in the book of Acts in the 9th chapter, and we were talking about the things that Saul had to go through early on in his ministry that would prepare him for what God would have him to do later on in his ministry. And we reiterated how the church should come alongside of new converts, and I think all of us had a little sermon that we should all make sure that we're not discouraging people, but encouraging people as they enter into the church and into ministry, because we never know what God has in store for them to do, and you know, we should be in position to encourage whatever it is that God would have them to do, realizing that all of us had someone to come alongside us and to encourage us in ministry. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's something that the Bible tells us to do. You know, in Matthew, I think it's the 5th chapter, where it tells us that we're supposed to go out, preach and teach and people about the gospel. And you can't do that if you're judging people. You know, how can you teach someone, draw someone close to Christ when you're judging them? And we have to meet people where they are. And that is what, so that they in turn can reach out to others and encourage them as well. But sometimes we discourage people because we're always busy telling them, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, instead of telling them about how their life will change once they give their life to Christ.
Amen, amen. And Dr. G, we touched in chapter 9, verse 27. We talked about Barnabas, how Barnabas came along and reasoned with the other apostles to allow Saul a chance to operate in ministry. And as we were talking about that you were my Barnabas, and so Barnabas and so many other ministers that have come along. And how it's important to have a Barnabas to kind of part the ways and part the waters and help with new converts to get the rough edges smoothed out and help them get their footing and to stick by them as they're a little shaky and to help them to grow. And how important it is that God places Barnabases in our lives, and how God knows all of us and knows what we need, and we should be willing to, once we've seen that and others help us, be willing to pass that on to others. Dr. G.
Well, you're right, and that's one of the things I think that I was fortunate enough to be around when I was growing up. I mean, my first pastor was excellent in doing that, but I had a chance to really hang around a lot of good pastors that kind of took me up underneath their wing. They gave me an opportunity to preach, and, you know, and I was a young minister. I had my bush and all that, but they weren't, you know, they encouraged. And I think that's one of the things that helped me to get to a point that I promised the Lord that whenever I got into a position, I was going to help others to come along.
Amen, amen. And I thank you for that. And that's so important to not forget where we came from. And, you know, it's easy to do once you get into going and flowing and you know, you've got your legs up under you and you're a little sturdy, then you forget, you know, what it was to crawl, you know, and you know, once you're running, you know, too many times you're running in ministry and you forget what it is to be a babe and what it is to crawl. And, you know, I was thinking about that when I was seeing the pictures of Ms. Zoe, my daughter's birth, her. And, you know, I was looking back in my mind and just seeing, you know, where I was when I was born in Oklahoma, and, you know, how I grew and you know, Sheila, how we came up together and you know, how we started our families and, you know, how our children were little babies. Now we got grown folks now.
Yeah.
Some of them lived at home. Some of them moved out. Some of them moved back.
Yep.
But we got grown folks and, you know, we just remember how we were raised and, you know, these challenges of like our dad, you know, I call him Big Old Daddy, would say, you know, we got to get used to this living business. And someone had to, you know, take care of you, you know, in the hospital. And you had to learn how to eat and you had to learn how to hold your head up and, you know, learn how to roll over and open your eyes and learn how to crawl and all those things that you have to do. And it takes time. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I've learned in ministry, Sheila G and Dr. G, is that some things take time. And as bad as you want to save the world, when you get into ministry, you want everybody to be saved and you want to turn the world upside down, like right now, some things take time. And you don't realize that until you start getting into ministry for a while. And then you understand that it's a battle. Every day is a battle, and it takes a long time, sometimes or longer than we want, to turn things around. But God is in the midst of it, and you can see him in the midst of it. But ministry is not something that's just going to happen overnight. And God has to put all the players together. You have to see change. You have to see people go through changes. You have to experience the good. You have to experience the bad. And you know, the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but you never know how long the night's going to be.
Right.
But you have to trust and believe that joy is going to come in the morning. Sheila G.
Amen. And as you're saying that, some of us that have been like on our prayer service, and we've all been saying how what we're asking for is for the Lord to give us patience because of the situation they were in with the COVID virus, is that where we've had to slow down, and we want time. We're in a microwave society, and we want to speed up. But then there's things that we have to do that we didn't have to do before, that's like weighing on us, and we just have to have patience, even though we all know that God is in control. We all know that God's got this, but we're like praying for patience, praying for strength, because it's not an easy thing to do. And I think about that scripture, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They should mount up on wings like an eagle and soar. We want to get on the wings like an eagle and soar, but we got to wait on the Lord first. And he talks about that in his Bible, even in Psalm 27 at the end. He's like, wait on the Lord, be of good courage.
Good courage.
Lord.
I say
so
on the Lord.
Courage piece is like, okay, you want me to be patient. You want me to deal with that. I know you got this under control, Lord. I know it in my heart. But it's hard. The human part of me is like, ugh. But then he says, be of good courage. And we may as well be of good courage, even though it's difficult in our flesh, because you're still going to have to wait. So if you wait and you're not encouraged and you're not trusting in God, then you're waiting and miserable. So either way, you got a choice. Is the glass going to be half full or is it going to be half empty? And God understands that. That's why he puts it in his word. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like an eagle and soar. Basically saying, you be patient, you wait on me. You're going to have the victory in the end, but you're going to have to go through the process.
My Lord. And Dr. G, I sit back in awe and see how God works with a woman who has conceived a child. And the 10 months, it's like 9 full months, that they go through in labor and just carrying that child. But at the end of it, they know that they're gonna birth this child. And the joy of that child coming into the world will supersede those 9 months. And then, you know, I sat around and I watched Janice go through the labor and the pain and the can't walk, can't sleep, the morning sickness she had real bad, and the just the this whole ordeal. But she stayed in there. She continued to, you know, come to church and continued to, you know, online church and to see her face after Zoe was born. It reminds us of that, you know, this ministry that sometimes it takes a while, but if we continue to hold and continue to trust God, that He'll come through. And like Sheila G was saying, that we had to learn to wait on Him. And you can't rush a pregnancy, and you can't rush God, and some things you can't rush in ministry, Dr. G.
You know, I was sitting here thinking while Sheila and you were talking, it's just like with this whole COVID-19 pandemic, and it's forced us to have to have church in a different way, you know, virtual, Facebook or whatever. And one thing that I've learned since these last few months is, especially with, you know, the young adults that have come to Christ, you have to change your method of dealing with them, because, I mean, some of them, they'll tell you up front, I just can't get with this virtual thing. So, you know, they don't come to church. They're not going to call in. They're not going to give anything. But then the Lord in His own way will allow something to take place. Now, I mean, they know they can call me, and had one young man that was in a real bad car accident about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked away with just cuts and bruises. I mean, the car was total. But he should not have survived that accident.
Mm.
When I finally did talk with him, you know, we shared with him, because I try not to push him too much.
Right.
To the point where, you know, you want to bug them. You know, yeah, you would, as Sheila said, you would love for them to be on the same page as we are. But, you know, I remember that when I was a young adult growing up,
my
pastor worked with me. He was patient with me. And in ministry, I've learned you got to be patient, especially with the young people. Now, things like what we're going through right now, it will show you whether or not they're serious or not. Some, they're going to go and do their own thing and talk a good game. But the young adults that are serious, and when God allows something to happen, you know, that's a wake-up call. And I shared that with this young man, that the Lord was trying to get his attention. And I, you know, I told him that you really should not be alive right now. God spared you for a reason. So, you know, I pick my moments, I pick my times, and I don't go too fast, but just fast enough to keep in touch and let them know the Lord is still right there.
Amen.
And in this ninth chapter of the book of Acts, I believe that God is ministering to Saul this way to let him know, hey, I'm going to show you these things. And I want you to understand that, you know, this is how ministry is. And, you know, people are funny. Some folk going to like you, some folk not going to like you. And you have to learn how to handle it in a godly way, to the point where your experiences that you have in ministry, you'll be able to share with the church. You'll be able to share with those that are new converts to let them know, hey, you know, I've been there. I've done that. I've experienced some things that I want to share with you to let you know as you go through them. You know, like you were saying, Dr. G, you know, God is speaking to you. God is trying to show you something, and, you know, encourage people to listen to what God's trying to tell them and be encouraged that God is working things out for your good, and that He wants the best for you. But we have to learn to hear Him and to be, like Sheila G said, wait on the Lord, that you know, that not just consider just sitting down and waiting, but wait on Him like a waiter, that you would serve Him in any capacity that He would have you to serve Him. And so here in Acts 9, Paul is waiting on God. He's experienced some things in his life with those that love him, those that hate him, and the different ways that God moves him from place to place. And that's one thing in ministry also is sometimes people get comfortable, Sheila G, in ministry, and they just want to sit there in that little corner and not tell anybody about God or not do a ministry. But God has a way of getting your attention, like Dr. G said, where you can't be comfortable in that position anymore, and you have mm-hmm. to go out and you have to become bold and more visible in ministry. Sheila G.
Amen. You know, the expression is you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, because God doesn't want us to be uncomfortable. He wants us to be constantly building that relationship with him personally, with our personal relationship, but also encouraging others to do the same thing.
Amen. So let's pick up with Paul in chapter 9, and we want to go down to verse 27, where Paul is being encouraged by Barnabas. I'm going to read verse 27. I'm reading NIV. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord. The Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus, this is where he was converted, in Damascus, he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So, you know, Barnabas stood up for him and went to the elder members of the church and said, look, you know, what you heard is what you heard, but this is what I know for a fact, that this fellow truly is being converted. And he's definitely preaching boldly the Lord Jesus. And so that allayed the fears of the church folk. So he is in Jerusalem now. And in Jerusalem you have what are called the Hellenistic or the Greek Jews. And then you have the Hebrew or the Hebraic Jews. So you have the Hebraic Jews who are traditionally from the seed of Abraham, and they are one group of Jews. And then you have, they call them Hellenistic or the Grecian Jews who are converted. So you got both of these folks are supposed to be children of God. And we first heard about the Grecian Jews or the Hellenistic Jews back in Acts 6, where they were complaining that certain Jews, the widows were getting, you know, taken care of. But they, because they were the Hellenistic Jews or the Grecian Jews, that their widows weren't getting taken care of. So he always had this drama in the church. You have these groups that say, well, I'm an original member, and I'm I'm a founding member, or I've been in, you know, this church for 35 years under the first pastor, and you know, they'll let you know all of this. And when the new folk come in, and it seems like, you know, there's unease between the new folk and the old folk. You know, and in Acts 6, it said that the Hellenistic or the Grecian Jews said, hey, we're not getting taken care of. And so what God did through that skirmish, or if you will, or that unrest in the church, is how the deacons came about. And so God allowed the deacons to come and to help to minister in that area. And so Paul is back in Jerusalem, and you have these Hellenistic Jews, or the ones who have taken on the Greek way of language, and they were doubting that this Jesus came and that Paul was one who spoke of Jesus in the gospel. And so it was something that they weren't used to, and so here they are acting up again. And sometimes you can just see it coming Sheila G., when something changes or something different happens in the church, there's mm-hmm. always going to be a group.
Yeah.
I don't know who it is.
Yep.
There's always going to be a group of folk that's used to things being one way or they don't understand
right.
that's going to have a little bit of heartburn, Sheila G.
Amen. And that's where sometimes tradition in the church can get in the way of God trying to spread the gospel. As you were talking about that, I was thinking about what Pastor said earlier, that when early in his ministry, you know, he had the type of pastor that stood up for the young preachers because he was called at a young age. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
you would hear people say, well, they're too young to be a preacher, but you don't know what God
yep.
has in store. And as he said, he had his bush. I mean, I've seen pictures of him in the male chorus where his hair was longer than mine. It had his stack heels and his bell bottoms. But his pastor looked past that and saw the God in
mm-hmm.
him. What happens, and I know this came up against him because I've seen it. I've seen it when Pastor G has had to do it in New Birth. You had people that were in such a traditional way that they couldn't see the God working in him, but his pastor recognized that this young man is being called, and as a result of that, and one of the first things he did was put him over the youth ministry. So God
mm-hmm.
was able to use him to help draw in the youth because
there you go.
His pastor looked past the outer appearance and didn't judge based off tradition or based off the way it's done here, but more of, okay, God is taking us in a new direction, and it's not against the, you know, the Bible says come as you are, and he stuck to what God told him as a pastor. So in turn, when Pastor G was in that same position where he was
mm-hmm.
placed as a pastor of a church that had been in place for, I mean, our church is 50-some years old now, he had to change some of that tradition, but had Pastor King not worked with him, similar to the way
mm-hmm.
God has worked with Saul here, Saul wouldn't have been able to do what he needed to do when he became
right.
Paul, when there was unrest in Galatians and in Ephesians and in those different churches
mm-hmm.
as well. So God has a plan, but we have to follow God and not so much get hung up on the tradition, because God will switch things up. He just did it now with the whole situation with COVID. That, yeah, our tradition
yep.
was to go into a church building on Sundays and do whatever, but God said, okay, what you going to do now that you don't have a building? You just not going to have church? Or are you going
mm-hmm.
to switch up? And he's taken, you know, when you think about the social media and you think about these electronics, Satan had been using it for evil. Well, God is turning it into good, because now you're having,
that's
okay,
right.
we're going to go online, but we're going to go online and give God the glory. So, God, we have to get out of these boxes and do things in according to what God has, because you don't know what's in store in the future.
Amen. Amen. And God will do it, and he'll move you around. And sometimes we think going from one ministry to the other ministry is the worst thing. But God said, I need you to go through this right here, because I'm going to use you and use what you learned here over here. And we'll see this with Saul. So let's go to verse. And verse 28 says, so Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem. So things calmed down a little bit, and you know that's how trouble is. It comes and goes. You know, it doesn't last always, but there's always something brewing. Satan always has something brewing, and you know, too many times you have someone in the church that's willing to be used by, you know, the tactics of the enemy. And there's always something brewing, and so, you know, he was able to move freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord, and he talked and debated. This is verse 29, and he talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews. Those were the ones that we saw in sixth chapter of Acts, and they were complaining about, you know, they didn't get treated fairly, and some of them didn't think Paul's message was correct, and you know they argued with him or debated with him, and anytime you're using the Word of God and you're standing on the Word of God, it's either going to drive people, draw people, or it's going to drive them. And so him speaking boldly the Word of God, I guess they got a little attitude, or whatever their spirit wasn't the spirit of God. And as God began to reveal them for who they really were, they got upset with old Saul. And so in the second part of verse 29, he said, but they tried to kill him. Here we go again. It's like the Bible says Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's still his method. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy and stamp out the Word of God. But he's unable to do it. But that doesn't negate the fact that he's still going to try, Dr. G. He's still going to try. He'll use whoever's willing participant. I used to laugh. A preacher said that some people will meet Satan at the front door of the church and lock arms with him and walk up in the church. Say some people give him a ride to church. Some people meet him at the church and use that spirit to come in to try to kill the spirit of the church, to try to kill, to become a stumbling block for people that are growing and people that are benefiting from the church. And so we have to be cognizant of the fact, and I think this is what Paul wanted, like Sheila was saying, when Paul wrote about the whole armor of God, you know, in Ephesians 6, he said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he understood this because he's seen it for himself. By all the times he was trying to get killed, not only spiritually, but physically, Dr. G.
And you're right. You know, Satan is, he's a slick, shrewd rascal. And that's one of the reasons why you've really got to stay close to God so that you can see how he works. And you're right. He will walk up. Church just as big as day. He'll lock arms with some of these preachers, some of these folks, you know, you talk about traditionalists, you know, and thing that I learned, and the Lord told me, because when I first went to new birth, I didn't change anything. I wanted to see how things went, how they were running, and I gradually began to make changes. And at every battle that there was a fight, and, you know, Lord revealed all that to me. He revealed who my biggest stumbling block was going to be. And if I had not had Stan, I would not be at New Birth right now. And New Birth would not be where they are. But because of how I worked it under the influence of the Holy Spirit, though, as you said, those that did not like it, they either had to leave. Those that tried to work it, the Lord remove them out of the way completely, and they died. So, you know, God has his own plan. He knows what he wants, and we have to move out of the way and allow him. And again, it's under the influence of the Holy Spirit.
It's so amazing to see that in the first century church, it was a struggle, and it was a battle. And here we are in 21st century church. It's still a struggle, and it's still a battle. And we really have to look at that spiritual warfare, because if you're not fighting this thing in the spirit, the flesh will cause you to be very disappointed. You have to stay in the spirit. You have to walk in the spirit. You have to continue to pray in the spirit. You got to continue to stand on the word of God. And it's, the flesh is just going to be fleshy. And
right.
You can't operate in the church in the flesh, because the flesh will always resort back to the flesh. And the flesh is faulty. It's sinful. It wants to have its way. It responds too poorly to feelings, and we have to learn how to walk in the spirit and not give room for this flesh, because we become stumbling blocks for each other. and mm-hmm. and the cause of Christ is dropped and pushed aside because we get into this fleshy thing with each other that is not productive. And Satan, once he gets us going to each other, he'll go stand in the corner and pull up the popcorn and watch us, Sheila G, go after each other. And he said, no, then, I wonder how this going to end. Jesus, they ain't talking about you no more. They talking about each other. Sheila G.
When you were saying that, it made me think about, I think it's the 1 Peter 3 chapter, towards the end, it talks about not doing evil for evil. And again, God put these things in the Word. There's nothing new under the sun because he knows how we are in the flesh. And he knows that in the flesh, if you do something to me, I want to do something back to you. And, you know, you hurt my feelings, I'm going to hurt your feelings. And we all have that nature in us. We have that pride. We have that, you know, I want to get back. And that is why we have to develop that relationship with the Lord. And how do we develop that relationship? Through prayer, through studying his word, through attending church and fellowshipping with others, and setting the proper example. And recognize, because that if you know God and you have that personal relationship with him, you recognize evil. You recognize when it comes up. Recognize when you're feeling fleshy that you need to be quiet. And also in 1 Peter 3 chapter, it talks about how you can win someone over with a quiet spirit. And because when that tongue is evil member. So it's all in there. God is telling us the flesh in you, your natural nature, is to lash out. But if you put on that whole armor of God, you trust in me, I will make a way out for you, but you got to be dependent on me. And this is what you see in these scriptures that we're reading, like 23 up to this point, is that the enemy kept after Saul. But every time the enemy came after Saul, God revealed it to him, and then he turns around and makes a way out. You know, this is the next verse that you're getting ready to read. You just said they sought to kill him, but you read that next verse. God made a way out, and how many times God has made a way out of made a way for us out of situations as long as we've depended on him. If we don't depend on him and we depend on our flesh, we start whining and complaining about our situation, then we end up like the Israelites roaming around for 40 years, someplace that we've gotten in a couple of days, you know, and that's why it's important for us to not do evil for evil, but allow God, to the Holy Spirit within us, to fight that spiritual warfare for us.
Amen, amen. And let's go to that next verse in verse 30. And it says, when the believers learned of this, that these Jews, Hellenistic Jews, were trying to, or the Grecian, the King James says, called them Grecian Jews, because they were Jews that took on the Greek language and the Greek ways. And when the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. And in other words, like you said, Sheila G, God knew what was going on, and the church rallied around him. And they found out about this plot, and they took him and they sent him to Tarsus. And so his journey started out going to persecute the church, and he's on a street called Straight on the way to Damascus, and he got knocked off his high horse, converted. Ananias came in and laid hands on him, and scales dropped from his eyes, and he began to preach, and folks tried to kill him, and they got him out of one situation, and then came to the church, new church in Jerusalem, and the apostles and disciples were a little shaky, and then Barnabas spoke up for him, and then he started preaching again, and came into contact with the Hellenistic Jews, and they wanted to kill him, and so now the church come together again, and they're going to send him on his way to Caesarea and off to Tarsus. And and so ministry will continue in spite of what man does. And a lot of times people will look at the church and wonder how the church can still stand. The church is still standing because the Holy Spirit is only going to allow man to mess it up with so much. Dr. G, people can say what they want, they can do what they want, but God's going to put up with it but so long.
Amen.
And he's going to allow ministry to continue in spite of the crazy stuff that men and I'm talking about men and women, but mankind does. Dr. G,
you're absolutely right. I've seen it for a fact. And the bad part about it is some of the best fights I've seen has been in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And not just in New Birth, but ever since I've been in church, I've seen mm-hmm. folks rise up, as Sheila was saying, with them fleshly thoughts, and then they get cantankerous, they want to go against the pastor. And I watched my first pastor, he loving spirit, kind, he humble, and he took that mess. Then within me, I'm young, I'm ready to fight. I'm saying, ain't no way in the world gonna sit there and talk to that man like that. And I had to learn it. And now that I've gotten older, the Lord was preparing me for what I was going to
mm-hmm.
have to go through birth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now there's
mm-hmm.
a time I had folk rise up against me, call me a liar, you just want to have your way. I mean, I've heard it all. And each time the Lord just shut my mouth,
mm-hmm.
said, don't you dare say a word. I got this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would come back. Church is still standing and have to apologize. I accepted them back, accepted their apology. But that's just the way it is within the church. And like you said, the enemy is going to continue to come after folk, and he gets in folk. And the thing about it is, I don't care how much folks say they love the Lord, they got Jesus, when the devil gets
mm-hmm.
in them, all that love
mm-hmm.
for Christ right out the window. Everything made them learn, because that junk gets in them, and it takes over. They don't think right. They don't think too spiritual. They're definitely not acting spiritual. And all this stuff is going on right in the church. And then if they hear something they don't like, I've heard deacons get out of a meeting, cuss, go upstairs and leave. I've heard folk ready to fight in the church. So, Satan don't care. He just wants to start trouble.
Amen.
Amen. And he doesn't want to see the work of the Lord go forward. And that's his job. And that's what he's going to do till the Lord raptures the church. And we have to be cognizant of that. Not to say that it's easy, but we have to be cognizant of it. And we have to learn, and we have to pray together, we have to worship together, we have to study together, we have to help each other and fight with and for each other. And this
right.
is what we say, there's nothing new under the sun. If this was going on in the first century, Lord knows it hasn't changed in the 21st century. And so
right.
we have to band together by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
To help each other. And when we see each other going astray, to talk to each other, pray with each
right.
other, and refocus each other according to the Spirit, according to the Word of God. And so this is what they did, and they learned of it, and they took him down to Caesarea, and they sent him off to Tarsus.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of this, Sheila G., had to take place so we can get to verse 31.
Yes.
it takes a lot to get to verse 31. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. If we could just stay at verse 31, verse 31
right.
is going to tell us that we don't even stay there. But we're always trying to get to verse 31. Somebody needs to say, let's get to verse 31. Whenever
31.
There's trouble in the church, whenever there's turmoil, wherever the enemy is attacking, we all need to say, let's get to Acts 9:31. If we could only get to Acts 9:31 and then not get there but stay there for a little while, we will be all right. But it takes so much, Sheila G, to
mm-hmm.
get to Acts 9:31. It's like you have to go through. Oh, my
mm-hmm.
gosh, when you say you got to go through to get through, and because the enemy doesn't want you, look at somebody and say the enemy doesn't want you to get to Acts 9:31. So you say, well, preacher, read to me Acts 9:31. All right, we're going to read Acts 9:31. And I'm going to read it from the NIV. And the first word in Acts 31 is then. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Then. Yep. In other words, all of this has to get to then. In other words, after all of this. And it says, then the church throughout what? Judea, Galilee, Samaria. What did they do? They enjoyed a time of, somebody need to scream and say hallelujah, of peace. Oh, my God. Yeah. Sheila. You can't put a price tag on peace. And not only did they get peace, they were strengthened. Oh, my gosh. It takes so much. But if we can only get to Acts 9:31, Sheila G.
Amen. And then it says, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. So it's
come
like from all this time you went through, and that's how you know when you are under attack, you know that God has something good in store. But if you just leave your flesh alone, trust in God, he's going to bring you through the victory. And that's what verse 31, it says, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. And, you know, that's why, you know, one of my favorite things is when you're going through, pull on your past victory. Because you know you've been through, all of us have been through it, strife, hell, whatever, you know, in our lives. We've had trouble in our lives, but when we came on the other side, it was so victorious. We were strengthened and we were stronger, which allowed us to continue to go, knowing that another storm, you know, Satan's not going to give up. There's going to be another fiery. But if we trust in the Lord, we know that we're going to get through. You got to go through to get through, and you're going to come out better. And that's how you know when you're under attack, you know God has something good in store for you because he's not going to mess with you. And that's why he comes after the church, especially for the last part where it says it increased in numbers. So the attack is to get you to give up because, you know, if you got a testimony, he don't want you to have a testimony. He doesn't want you to be able to say, I've been there, I've been through, but God brought me out, so that somebody will say, okay, well, maybe I need to try that because I'm going through as well, which will in turn will increase the church in numbers.
Preach now. Amen. And I just want to read it in the King James Version. It says, then the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. This is where Satan doesn't want you to be.
That's right.
he don't want you to be there. Dr. G, he doesn't want the church to be there. He doesn't want it to be there. And he will throw everything in the kitchen sink at the church. But the church has to realize this is where the attack is and this is why the attack is coming. I think sometimes, Dr. G, we lose focus because he likes to turn us against each other. But he doesn't want us to, we're distracted. He doesn't want us to get to that verse 31. Dr. G.
Well, you know, I was sitting and thinking while you and Sheila were talking, at our anniversary, the 25th of the pastor, and that Sunday, I mean, the spirit was so high and how the Lord came in, and, I mean, you preached, the spirit came in and did its thing, and then the following Sunday, we had to shut down because of the coronavirus.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting here thinking about how God has to work sometimes. And it shows us that, okay, we were on a high that Sunday because Sheila always talks about whenever we're on a high, watch Satan coming with something.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it did. It shut it down. God had to shut everything down. And I had one of my officer, you know, he was determined he was going to church. Sent me a text, why are we shutting the church down? I explained to him why. Went on, found another church around his neighborhood. Then a week later, he was getting ready to go in for surgery, a major surgery. And see, the Lord does things for his own purpose. He knows what he's doing. And now, folk are the ones that do call in, that they're enjoying what we've got going. We try to make it as real as possible. But again, you know, we don't rush the Lord. And, you know, we're not going to be one of those churches that, okay, because I want to see y'all, because I want y'all to bring your money to the church, we're going to open up, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. No, we're going to do what the Lord say, and we're going to deal with it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But that is so powerful. And I thank God for his word and for these verses that give you a respite to know that God is working it out for your good. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have strength. He wants you to live and be edified and built up in the Lord. He wants to encourage you by the Holy Spirit. And he wants you to increase in numbers because of what you're going through and strength in numbers and strength in the people that God wants in the church. And you know, those are the verses that keep you going. Those are the verses that let you know that God's working it out for your good. And so that's where we're going to go to the phone line tonight. And we're just going to ask the question, do you realize that God is working it out for your good? In spite of all that you went through or that you're going through, that God has worked it out or is working it out for your good. And just think about it, you know. All of us, nobody's exempt from going through. But when you have that relationship with God and you've been around God and you've been in ministry, you've been with God for a while, you can see that you know, what man meant for, and that's what Joseph, when he was went through all his family, he said, what man went for my bad, God, you know, and worked it out for my good. And just want to know tonight, you know, that you realize that God's working it out for your good. So we're going to go for the phone lines, last four digits, 1741. 1741, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Pastor. Congratulations to you and to First Lady Dennis and her family. Happy for you all.
Yeah.
I do realize as I get older, and as I get closer to the Lord, I look back on a lot of things that happened in my life during my younger years. And I could not understand it, and I questioned it. And as I get older now, I begin to see how God had everything ordained, how he had everything set in place. And so as I get closer to him, he began to let me understand more and more why I had to go this way and why certain things had to happen. And sometimes some of the most unpleasant experiences that we go through are the ones that help us to grow the most and will help somebody else. Because I believe whatever we go through in life, if we stay the course and ask God to help us, it's going to be a blessing to somebody else when God get ready to use us. And one of the things that I always share with the prayer line, and especially when we started out, because it was a lot of the prayer warriors that would say, you know, they felt like they couldn't, you know, pray like somebody else, or they couldn't say this. And I always told them, let the Holy Spirit use you. Each person different. And if you just surrender to God, God going to work it out. He going to use you for his glory. And I thank God because I see the uniqueness in everyone that God has used. And it's such an inspiration. It's so inspiring. And one thing that you always share with us was stay in your lane. And when we stay in our lane and do what God wants us to do, then God's going to work it out for our good, and he's going to work it out for his glory. But we have to be obedient to him, and we have to be patient. That's one of the things that ministry, as you said, ministry takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of crying sometimes. Sometimes it even takes some suffering, you know. But through it all, God will get the glory. And Paul suffered. Because Jesus said that he would suffer
Yeah.
Who would suffer
yeah.
through his ministry for his name's sake. But at the closer Paul got to the Lord, the more the suffering was painful, but he loved Jesus so much and the cause and what he was called to do, he knew that that suffering was only temporary. And that's the way it is with us. We have to tell ourselves that this is just temporary. Because in the end, it's going to be worth everything that we have gone through if we just hold out and continue to trust the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 9383. You on there? 9383. He just dropped off. Hopefully they'll call back. We go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1411. 1411. You on the air?
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I definitely know that God is working it out for my good. I think the difference between me realizing that now and years ago is that a lot of times when I was younger, I didn't realize it to the end. To when I'm just like, you know what, I was worried. I was kicking and screaming this whole time, and God, you know, worked it out for me. But now, as I'm going through the storm, as I'm going through the battle, as I'm going through the controversy and the adversity, I realize at that moment that, you know, I may not see what God has in store, but I know he has something in store for me. So that is kind of the positive reinforcement that I need. I know Sister Gregory has stated, you know, leaning on your past victory. So it's that comfort level I have, like, you know what, even though the storm may be foreign, adversity is still adversity. You know, trials and tribulations are still trials and tribulations. They may just come in different vehicles. So I'm like, you know what, when I last dealt with something, it was new to me. God brought me through, and what I didn't even expect was waiting for me on the other side. So I think now it's more so of a process that I have that confidence, I have that faith in God, as I'm going to know that I may not see it, I may not know what my reward is going to be at the end of it, but I know that God is going to work it out for my good. And I really got to that level as I started taking my Christian walk and my Christian journey more seriously, because, again, you're kicking and screaming and you're fighting, you're cursing God, you're wondering, why me? You know, so-and-so over there don't go to church every Sunday, and they're fine, but it seems like every week I'm battling or going through something. But I had to slow down. I had to understand the way God works. I had to understand what my commitment to Christianity was. So when I started to become a student of Christianity, not just somebody that went through the motions, just showed up and go to church, but actually start paying attention, taking time out beyond Sunday, you know, just to say, well, I'm giving God 2 hours a week or 8 hours a month. It's like, no, you got to give him more than that to show what's going on. Then that's when things started to slow down for me, and I started to understand how this all works. So, you know, definitely I had to do my part, and God told me that, you know, if I really want to establish a closer relationship with him, I'm going to have to do the more, just, you know, do more than just talk a good game. But again, as I started to take my Christian journey more seriously, that's when I realized that, you know, God is going to always work it out for our good. It's just the fact that we may not see it or understand the why, but we know God is the how, and God is going to make it that he's going to always protect us. He's never going to fail us. He's never going to leave us or forsake us. So I truly thank God that he allowed me to get to that point, because a lot of people start out on this journey, and a lot of them aren't here today, right now. So I've had my ups, I've had my downs, but through it all, God has given me an opportunity to get it together, to take him more seriously, and to grow and to prosper into what God has planned for me. So I have the formula. I'm going to stick. I know there are going to be more trials and tribulations to come, but, you know, I'm prepared. I have my support system, and I know that as long as I put my faith in God, he's going to do his part and make sure that he takes care of me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 3343. You on the air?
Good evening, everybody. It's
good
Fran.
Evening.
Good evening.
It's Fran. Congratulations, everybody, and the good girl.
Thank you.
Come on in and start clapping and doing all right. Anyway, I started looking back at my life and started. I've been coming through, and each time I get through a journey, I look back and the Holy Spirit grabbed me over something and showed me something, and I had to get along and laugh and look back at my life and say, oh, my God. I saw that coming. I felt that, but I knew that was there. And this call, the vibration, I don't know what that is, but whatever. It ain't bothering me at all, but I enjoy every bit of it. I may not be doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I sure enjoy it. Anyway, God showed me whatever. When he wants me to know something, he does it. And when I do it wrong, he always tell me, I told you the first time, keep your mouth closed, like I told you. All right. You're hard head, so now you stuck your foot in it. Now, next time you listen to me. But I listen now, but I really hate this thing they're putting on my face and my mouth, because I really don't like it, because my mouth always got a stone. If you step me on me right, I'm going to open my mouth, and that's when it's wrong. But I enjoy this. And I'm good about it. God's been good to me alone all my life. I can't say nothing about it, but just these things that's in the Bible just make me laugh. And then it's serious, though, but it's serious, and you don't study and study hard at it. And I love this way it goes. Bless God. Keep me going. I don't know where I'm going or how I'm going to get there, but you keep me going. I'm steady to be on the line talking to you on Thursday. That's what I enjoy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 6309. 6309, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, in my lifetime, God has showed me that he is going to work things out, and he does work things out. And the main thing, once I actually got close to him and started doing what I was supposed to do, because I knew I wanted to be with the Lord, so you have to study, you got to come to church, you got to do what you're supposed to do to be with him, and then that allowed me to have a personal relationship with him. And I know the things that he's brought me through in my life, that he's working and will continue to work things out for me. And I trust him, I believe him, and I just wait on him, and I'm just so happy that he didn't take his hands off of me, you know? So I'm grateful. And I do what I do out of the love that God has shown me, and to show me how to live, how to talk to people. He got this mouth in check. So he's done an awful lot for me. Yes, he has. And
amen.
I know he's still working with me, and I'm continuing to humble myself and do as I'm told. And I appreciate him. I love him, and thank you.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 5310, 5310. You're on there.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I can't remember. What was the question?
Do you know that God is working it out for your good?
Oh, yes, he is. And my everyday walk with the Lord, job as far as teaching, working with my grandson, being patient, yelling and screaming in my name right now. hush, let me finish, okay? And also how he's working things out for me with patience. Because Lord knows I need some patience right about now. But he's working all that out for me. Wait a minute. That's what I have to say this evening. Say hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. You all have a blessed evening.
All right. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 1510. 1510, you're on the air. Be listening in. All right, I'm going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 5904. 5904, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I sat and listened to everybody. I started having flashbacks on some of the things I have done. And they were scary, but at the time it was fun. And one thing I could say that I should have been dead and some of the things that I had done then, but God kept me, and I said, then my mother said it was nothing but, you know, the grace of God and his mercy. And she said, every time y'all leave this house, I pray for y'all. So with all my mama's prayers and my grandmama's prayers and everybody else's prayers, this year I'll be 60 years old, so prayers do work.
Okay.
Amen. On a serious note, he has changed some things in my life. I find myself want to fuss with people who don't practice social distance, especially when I'm there too in the line. And I catch myself because I hear, you know, you see the stories how people getting offended, excited, and want to hurt people because you mentioned, you know, back up or where's your face mask. So I have to say, God, help me, you know, because I can't help them. I can only think, you know, and pray and say, God, you know, they don't know what they're doing, so I'm going to have to pray for them. But for me, I know what I'm doing. You know, I'm aware of that. My mouth might slip and say something. And before you know it, I'm stretched on the floor. We both being caught off to the jail. And I said, I can't do that, because if I do that, then what's going to happen to what my house, you know, my job and everything? So I have to keep praying and asking God to work with me. So when I see these things, I don't take it as a personal attack on me, you know. Because if they're not thinking, then I need to think for both of us. So I just look at them and shake my head and say, God, help them and help me. And I go on about my business, because I can't convince people to do the right thing. I can only pray that God would touch their hearts and their minds to do the right thing, you know. But he would, I feel that he will chastise me more, because I know what's right and I know what's wrong. Then try to argue with somebody to convince them that they're wrong. And they probably do know that they're wrong, but there's that devil ready to start some mess. So I have to say, you know, Lord, help me. You know, because he's the only one that can stand up between me and the devil. So I got to keep calling. But, yeah. And also, too, I just want to say God has been good. Mom came home today from the hospital. You know, she's feeling better. So, you know, today was a lot of blessings. You know, I got a new niece. I got a new niece. My sister's brother came home from ICU. And my mom came home. So God is good. 24/7, 365 plus one more day. That's 366. So thank you. Be blessed. And I'll be looking forward to Sunday service.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G, it's a good word. Finally got to Dr. G, Sheila G, finally got to Acts 9:31. But it's been a good journey. Sheila G, you want to last comments? And thank everybody for the congratulations. And thank God for my mother-in-law, mother-in-love. She was able to come home. Thank God for continuing to keep us. Shilji.
Amen. I just reiterate that we thank the Lord for our ups and our downs, knowing that whenever we're going through our downs, he's going to bring us right back up. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for another opportunity for us to just come and study on your word, truly study, not just read your word, Lord, but study your word and learn how to apply it to our lives. Lord, we just thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for the new little one that you have allowed to come into the world, Lord. I pray that you will bless mom, dad, and baby, Lord, and just thank you for all your many blessings. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.